Hi everyone, welcome to this new episode of the MEP Students Podcast. Today's episode is going to be hosted by Fabiana Grasso and Giada Foratello, and we're going to talk about climate change, but not in the way that you might be thinking. We're going to talk about addressing climate change and how it can be hard to tackle the issue, even if most people agree on the fact that it's a big problem.
Well, thank you for the intro, but let me start by addressing the elephant in the room. Not everyone thinks it is a big issue, and to be honest, that is already a problem. As I was saying, not everyone thinks that climate change is a problem, and one of the reasons for that might be that a lot of people think that the global climate crisis is going to take place in the distant future, so they won't live to see it.
So why take action, right?
Yes, technically speaking, our brains are programmed to respond to concrete, visible and urgent threats. We don't react until the danger is in front of us. And that is why an abstract, invisible and distant threat like climate change does not provoke collective action.
But at the same time, can we really say it is not an urgent threat? I mean, in the last few years, there have been many natural catastrophes, and they are all related to climate change, like the Australian wildfire of 2019 and 2021, but also the crazy heat waves that we have experienced during the last three or four summers, with the temperatures that reach more than 40 degrees Celsius.
I know, and this is where denial steps in, because this catastrophe did not interest the majority of the population. For some, either the problem doesn't exist, or if it exists, the cause is not anthropogenic. They're called climate change skeptics. They campaign to undermine public trust in climate science as a denial machine, organized by industrial, political, and ideological interests. So much so that the politics of global warming have been affected by climate change denial and the political global controversy undermining the effort to act on climate change or adapt to the warming climate.
Yeah, also because it's not only like normal people campaigning for this cause, but they are also supported by leaders like Trump, for example.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
Organized campaigns to undermine public trust in climate science are indeed associated with conservative economic policies and backed by the industrial interests, for example, opposed to the regulation of the CO2 emissions. It has also been suggested that climate change can conflict with a nationalistic view because it's unsolvable and at the national level and require collective action between nations or between local communities. And therefore, populist nationalism tend to reject the science of climate change.
Speaking of collective action, the fact that the impact of a single person taking action against climate change cannot fight the mission of a country like China has become the motto of most of the people who are not taking any action, because my action cannot fight that.
Yeah, but let's assume that it is true that the action of a single person cannot fight, like, for example, China's CO2 emissions. Still, the actions of many singles create a collectivity that can actually have a strong impact. When you choose to eat less meat and take the bus instead of driving, you're making a statement that your action matter and that it's not too late to avert the climate catastrophe.
Okay, Fabiana, yes, everything you said is true and beautiful, but at the same time, when we mention individual versus collective action, we don't only refer to single individuals, but also to countries contributing to climate change that often choose to prioritize their profit over environmental measures to protect their economy. For example, a country like Italy does not want to implement the same environmental policies that Germany has because it cannot afford it and does not want to have to deal with the consequent reaction of the population.
Yes, exactly. Capitalist nations focus on the short-term economic gains. They decide to ignore the urgency of climate action.
Continue on that note, it's time to address how governments are handling it.
Yes, exactly. I mean, governments are trying to take actions like the just finished COP28. But speaking about politicians, I think we can divide them into categories. Some like Trump, who basically deny the existence of the problem. Some fit in the same categories as German politicians, for example, who are actually trying to address the problem. And the third category, there are the ones that are afraid of the reaction of that addressing the problem will have on the population.
Wait, what do you mean by reaction?
Well, is it difficult to balance having prosperous capitalist economy and implementing measures to address environmental issues? Most politicians are masters of rhetoric, and we all know that very often most of their promises during the campaigns are directed to collect votes. But what would you think it will happen if during the next campaign in any country, a politician comes claiming my strategy for the government will be imposing austerity to the population, implementing environmental policies, raise prices of everything, and so on?
Well, I mean, they will never get one vote. To conclude, and not to make this episode too long, let's talk about one final problem, which is also very connected to everything we have already said before during this episode. The trade-off between short-term benefits and long-term results. What's the deal, Fabiana?
Well, it's a very delicate balance, Giada. Ignoring climate change in the short term might seem beneficial for individuals and organizations, as we've kind of mentioned before. Like, for example, you don't need to change your habits in terms of shopping, which can be both for clothes that are made with a more sustainable supply chain, also in terms of grocery, for example, not going through the struggle of having to choose an eco-friendly alternatives to your usuals. But also organizations and companies that don't need to think about or improve countermeasures like the Sustainable Development Goals and invest in the environment. Overall, the short-term benefit of not addressing climate change is that it is less expensive.
Yeah, definitely. Having to implement all the measures for a more sustainable living and production is way more expensive. And as we mentioned before, you didn't even see the results right away. While the priorities stay in action, there are short-term benefits for individuals and organizations and will demotivate people to continue the action because it is a long-term game.
Okay, thank you all for taking the time to listen to our episode. I feel like I've learned a lot about why it is hard to tackle the problem of climate change.
Yes, Fabiana, I feel the same way, but I'm sure there are so many other reasons that we have forgotten. That's why we're leaving a box down below for anyone who feels like wanting to share their thoughts on the episode with us. And maybe we'll address your ideas in a new episode next week.
Bye, y'all.